with the eternity within us, but living in the here and now, Lord, living in a space where we're limited by time, Lord, as far as what we can do, as far as all that we can understand and see and to share. Lord, I pray that we would be people with a sense of urgency, that we would not just hear your word, but that we would be active listeners, looking for opportunities to share your word, to apply the teachings, keep the gospel first and foremost and always on our minds, on our lips, in our hearts, ready to share at a moment's notice. We thank you so much for Psalm 78. Thank you that these words that were penned some 3,000 plus years ago are still applicable today. Even though you had very beginnings of a big worldwide nation and the people of Israel at that time, Lord, living on earth, even though there are now billions of us on earth, Lord, that claim to be Christians, even though you know how many there are, Lord, and there are far more than there were just in the nation of Israel, Lord, that these words again ring true all these years later. I pray, Lord, that all of our singing would be a blessing to you, Lord, and that all the teaching would grow us and sanctify us, that anything that is false or untrue or not of you and not of eternal glory would be just fade away, that we would not even hear it, that it wouldn't even be on our minds or on our ears, Lord. Lift all this up. We thank you for today. We do all that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as you know, the last few weeks we've been looking through Psalm 78, the second longest of the Psalms, and also one not written by David. If you remember last week when it was my week to go, Mr. Todd's out this week, which would normally be his week, so I'm kind of filling in. Remember we talked a lot about dark sayings from of old, which was one of the phrases that appears in one of the verses, and then glorious deeds, wonders, and the works of God. You'll notice that I added a little phrase into just this little slide here. It just says the stakes of the dark sayings from of old versus all the things that God is doing. We're going to look a lot more at that. We skipped a verse last week that we're going to spend quite a bit of time in. And just to go through a quick kind of a summary of what we studied several weeks ago, Psalm 78. Starts off by Asaph saying, listen to my parable, listen to my teaching. It's about the dark deeds of our people, but also the glorious deeds of our God. And these were things told to us by our fathers. He says that we will not hide them, but we will tell them to our children. He says, no, we will not keep these things to ourselves. But we will tell of God's testimony in his man Jacob and his law in his nation Israel. He commanded fathers to teach to their children, to teach to their unborn children, who will one day teach to their children. And we can see in the last couple verses there, 7 and 8, why God wants these things. It says God wants us to teach these things to the children so that they will set their hope in God, not forget his works, keep his commandments, and not be a stubborn and rebellious generation like those before them. And we even made some applications just, again, as I prayed earlier, thousands of years later, for us as a church, that we would teach our physical children, we would be like Paul with Timothy and teach our spiritual children, and that we would know and be ready, willing, and able at a moment's notice to share the testimony of God's work and provisions in our life despite stubbornness or rebellion. Today we're going to add to that a little bit. As I mentioned, we kind of went through a lot of this in the past, or in last week we kind of bracketed out verses that were just, were they dark sayings from of old? Were they glorious deeds, wonders, and works of God? And just looked at that through the whole chapter as kind of an overview. We said that there were 17 and a half verses of dark sayings from of old, 45 and a half that are devoted to the glorious deeds and the works and wondrous works of God. And I kind of made the point that you think about someone's testimony, a true godly testimony, you don't hear 10 minutes of things about them to hear 10 seconds about something that God did. You hear far less about them, but you can definitely hear a contrasting with, this is who I was, this is all the stupid stuff I did, but God. But then God did an amazing thing, And that's where the emphasis is, just like in this psalm. So we started in the first eight verses, verses 1 through 8. We did 9 through 16, and we kind of made some notes about that. We did skip over verse 9, which we're going to look at a lot today, and why that's so important. But we saw in verse 10 that they had broken covenants and laws. Verse 11, they had forgotten his works and wonders, which are the same two words that are also used in verse 4 and 7, which you see there at the bottom. We see that God performed wonders in their midst in verse 12, that he gave them rescue and escape in verses 12 and 13, that he was a very real presence to them in verse 14 as they wandered around in the wilderness, and in verses 15 and 16, he was their physical provision by giving them water that came literally from rocks, and something that still just astounds me. I mean, even when I was a kid, I remember being blown away by this, that there were millions of people in the middle of an arid, dry desert, and God gave them sufficient water from a rock. Like, that is astounding to me. So today we're going to look at verse 9. It's been quite a bit of time there. It's a short verse, kind of frames it all out, but it is the first of the dark sayings of old, and the very first verse going through this whole history of Israel. It says, the Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. So who were the Ephraimites? The nation of Israel started with a man, started with a covenant, actually generations before him in Abraham, but his grandson, Jacob, was ultimately renamed Israel. You might remember that he had four wives, which are shown, or four significant others, as are shown there. He had two wives, Leah, who he labored 7 years for and was tricked into marrying because he really loved Rachel. So he labored another 7 years, and he gets the girl that he eyed up all those years before in Rachel. But he also got their concubines in Zilpah and Bilhah. And you see to the right of all that, you can see their sons that each of them gave birth to. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, Joseph, and Benjamin. What's going to be interesting is you notice that it does not say anything about Ephraim there. So let's look a little bit at that. Back in Genesis 48, Jacob is about to die. He calls Joseph to himself after they've been reconnected. Joseph lived far off in Egypt, and that was its own whole story about how he was sold into slavery. But after they've reconnected and Jacob is about to die, he wants to bless Joseph's sons. And look at what he says in verse Genesis 48:5. It says, now you have two sons. These two sons were born here in the country of Egypt before I came. Your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, will be like my own sons. They will be like Reuben and Simeon to me, so these boys will be my sons. They will share in everything I own. So they have a pretty amazing inheritance from someone who has been given what would ultimately be like long-lasting covenants from God. And look at what he says. He doesn't just say, you're going to be blessed among my children. He says, you will be like my own sons. They will be like Reuben and Simeon to me. If you notice there with the one and the two kind of in the graph, Reuben and Simeon were the first two born of Jacob. So he's putting Joseph's sons on par with his first two that are born. That's a pretty big honor in those days because generally a lot of honor is given to the oldest and kind of sequentially down through the sons or through the children. It's not generally like... There are a lot of exceptions to this, but the tradition was that it would go to the oldest, and from there. There is some uncertainty around, or debate, I guess you could say, around whether this really has to do with Israel or the tribe of Ephraim. This verse and even the following verses, which go a lot into the dark sayings from of old, I'm going to try to make the case that I think it's both, that it actually is talking about Israel, but also making the allusion to Ephraim. We see, first of all, in 2 Chronicles 25, Amaziah is the king of Israel. He's trying to gather together some men to go and fight, to take back some lands from around them. It says, then Amaziah, 2 Chronicles 25, 5 through 7, says, then Amaziah assembled the men of Judah and set them by father's houses of commanders of thousands and of hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. He mustered those 20 years old and upward and found that there were 300,000 choice men fit for war, able to handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go. Do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, with all these Ephraimites. So we can see that Ephraim and Israel are used interchangeably here. There are other sections in the Old Testament where that's also the case. You can also look right back here in Psalm 78, and you can see that in verse 10, it says, they did not keep God's covenant and refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. And if you think about the many low times, if you remember that roller coaster image that I used, the low times that Israel was on, there were many times when it was all the Israelites doing it. It wasn't just the Ephraimites who were casting graven images, you know, and creating golden calves. It wasn't just the Ephraimites who were, you know, crying and whining for the cravings of their stomach instead of being satisfied in the provisions of God. So definitely has a lot to say about Israel, and we can see that all throughout this whole entire chapter of Psalm. We could also see a lot of places in Scripture, including just in this psalm, where it applies to the tribe of Ephraim. If you jump down to verse 67, and if you remember when I gave like some little homework last time, I said, hey, if you want to go ahead and, you know, skip ahead and cheat, you can look down at the end of this chapter and you'll see that, you know, you might get some hints as to what's going on here. It says in verse 67 of Psalm 78, he rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. So why? And that was something I did not get a super clear answer on as much as I tried to study it and figure it out. Judges 1:29 said, and Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. But the very next few verses of Judges say that a lot of other tribes did the exact same thing. Ultimately, though, we know that Ephraim is completely rejected. You can see that here, and you can ask, okay, well, how do we know that? We should see some evidence of that going further, even beyond here, just in Psalm 78. In Genesis 49, right after Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, the tribes of Israel are named. There are 12 of them. They're named right here. I think I read them earlier as the sons of Jacob. They're also named in Deuteronomy 27 as the same 12 tribes. When you get to land allotment, you'll notice that in Joshua 13 through 21, that's chapters 13 through 21, so that's a lot to put on screen, but you see that there are some that are left off. You'll notice that Levi, first of all, is left off, and that is because Levi did not get a land allotment. Levi was actually, the tribe of Levi's land allotment was they were the priests, and so they were given, basically they lived in the temple, and they were also given sanctuary cities, which had a very different meaning in those days than they have nowadays. So you see, Levi is actually absent from the land allotment, even though they were given land or, you know, places in service to the Lord. Joseph is left off and instead named as his two sons that Jacob had blessed before, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, what gets really interesting is as you go further, you go into the New Testament, there are 144,000 of the tribes of Israel that are sealed in the book of Revelation 7. And you'll notice that in addition to Dan, Ephraim is also skipped. Joseph is back on the list, and Ephraim is booted from the list. What's also interesting is Ephraim is not even named in the New Testament, unlike every other tribe of Israel. Ephraim, the word, appears, but it is referring to a city. It's not referring to the tribe. It's not referring to the man. It's not referring to anything from him other than a city that was named after him at some point. So we can see that he is indeed rejected. He was not chosen. If you look at verse 68, it gives you a nice point to contrast. It says, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. So it's a logical question. Just like with Ephraim, we can say, if Ephraim, we said, how was he not chosen? We can ask, how was Ephraim chosen? Very first chapter of the book of the New Testament. This is a pretty big choosing. It says, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. It's Judah and not Ephraim, just like Psalm 78 says. That's where the Messiah would come from. So kind of, we can add that into kind of what we're understanding here from these verses of the dark sayings of old, compared with the wonders and the wonderful works of God. Israel was, as a whole, a nation of people who were in massive rebellion. Again, roller coaster, up, down, up, down. However, the tribe of Ephraim, significantly more so. You can remember also that we have this, we made this application that I kind of posted earlier, just talking about teaching our physical children, teaching our spiritual children, knowing our testimony and be ready, willing, and able to share it. And I think we can even add one to that from this. Also comes right out of the mouth of Jesus. It says, Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." It's in inverse order, but if you look at this, point four is basically saying, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your strength, with everything you have. The next point would be, know your testimony. Know what the Lord has done to put you into that relationship. Next point would be teach spiritual children, disciple. Obviously, that's something that I have a whole different appreciation for, being married for almost 2 years. I have someone I can partner with, and we call each other teammates all the time. Somebody that I can actually disciple, who also disciples me. We have that right in our own home, but that does not mean that somebody who is not right in my home is any kind of, I don't have any obligation to them, or I don't have the opportunity to share with them. And of course, we can also teach our physical children. And why should we do all this? Because, again, as I just wrote there, as a silly little last note, and that is because the stakes are high. And as one last slide I just wrote, the stakes are really high. This is what we are all called to as a church. And I think these are just some of the beautiful teachings that come from Psalm 78 to kind of remind us that, even though we find that in the Old Testament, it's no less applicable to us all these years later. So, on that note, we can move into a time of prayer. I'm going to try to put on screen the any prayer requests that come up. Hopefully that's sharing. My prayer request that I started with last week was, Lauren was going back to school, what is guaranteed to be her wildest, weirdest year yet. She started back on Monday, although the kiddos did not. So they had lots and lots and lots of planning and drills and coordination and teachings and whatever, just to figure out what it's supposed to look like. And tomorrow the kids start kind of rationing in small groups based on last names or something. So anyway, but by Friday they'll have they'll have quite a few kids there and stuff. So continue to pray for her and any other educators we have, the Brewers. I don't know, you guys are going to be online, I would assume, or you're not going to be online? You're going to be in person? Okay. So they're going to be in person too. So just any of that stuff that has to be figured out and navigated and all that. And
Susan raises excellent needs prayer for John. She called us.
Is this right? I thought I spelled her name.
His name is John. Susan
Raven. The O-R-N. Okay. Ex-husband John needs prayer. Strange or something.
Her daughter's dad.
Okay. Pray for John, a significant other of Susan Rayburn. So, yeah.
Just think about our family, pray for Chad, his family, Abby and Alice. So they seem like, it just seems like God's really doing the work right now in Shad and the family. That's encouraging. Of course, last weekend we weren't here. We were in Pensacola and over in Crestview, where Jason and Melissa, they seem to be doing well. And John showed up over there. So that was good also. We got to spend some time with him. And pray for him as well, because he needs to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. Also, he needs a job, but he needs to bow the knee to Christ. And so he's in town right now.
Okay. Yeah, John. Oh, yeah.
Oops. And I'd also like to add the evangelism. Made it back down to New Orleans Friday. So, and of course, the abortion mill was sadly open and still there, and crashed their party. They, I guess it might have been St. Martin's birthday, abortionist. I'm not sure. They had a little party up there. But we also went back to Bourbon Street, and it's slow, not quieter, but it's open now, and some of the places are starting to open back up slowly. But we had some good conversations. One conversation that were really, there were a couple that are promising, but one that we really hope. And it's a young man, his name is Matthew, and really hoping that he will contact. So he lives up here in Baton Rouge, he's in Baton Rouge, and so he said he would be willing to get together with and meet with him. So remember that.
Okay, absolutely.
A missionary family, and the guy's name is Joel, and the last name is P-I-E-G-R-E-N. He's got cancer, and so on.
Did I get that spelling right? P-I-E-G-R.
And then Green.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And they give him 6 months to live. He's a missionary in Turkey, and he just found out, and they have
wow. Yeah. You said he had cancer, is that right? Okay. Okay. Wow.
Thank you. And for the walls, I'd like to pray for my daddy. My daddy's 94, and he's got the COVID illness virus, and it failed as a urinary tract.
Okay. Lost loved ones, that is always as has even been mentioned, you know, with both you and Mr. Tom, so.
Feel like today would have been my 40th wedding anniversary day. And you know what? I am not sad.
Wow.
I am so full of joy, and I am so happy to be in my happy place right now. And I had a friend of mine tell me last night, you're different. There's something different. You're just not how you used to be. And I'm like, thank you so much. But I feel it. Feel like a release from my grief and from what and who I used to be. And I told this person, I said, but he's not my husband anymore. He's not my husband. And He has to strip things away from us so that, I love those two words put together, so that he is my husband, and I love him like I've never loved any other person. And I just want to give him all the glory and just praise and thank you so much, God. This is the best anniversary ever.
Wow.
So I just want to praise God for that, and I'm going to share it with y'all, because I know when I first got here, I was probably the saddest sack of sadness ever. And I just thank you for praying for me, for loving me, for letting me cry, and not telling me not to cry. Thank you so much for being my brothers and my sisters and my real family. Thank you for being my family, and the Lord used you to fill in that void. And it's just a full overflowing like you promised.
That's great. Thank you. Just a quick Miss Claire story that I'll share too. Shortly after I got here, fell in love with a pretty girl that you all know. I was about to ask her to marry me, and I'm going through all the plotting and strategizing and all that stuff, and I'm asking Miss Becky, I'm like, I'm kind of new back to town, I don't really remember, or I don't really know anybody, I'd love to, like, get some pictures of this or something. She's like, oh, get Claire to do it. And I was like, well, it needs to be covert, and I'm just like, oh, she'll do it. So one of my best friends, his parents have always, like, had the most meticulously maintained, amazing backyard. And I always said, if I ever had a really, really small wedding, even when I was, like, 20, I said, if I ever have a small wedding, I want to get married in their backyard. Well, their backyard was a little small for all the people I knew we'd have in attendance, but I was like, still incorporate in this backyard. So, anyway, that's where I proposed to her. And Miss Claire was kind enough to park down the street, kind of adjacent to the house. I went around the backyard with a stupid made-up story about how I had to go water some plants because his parents were out of town. And so anyway, I was like, I got to go water their plants. And it's 95 degrees outside. And we're all dressed up, so we look pretty for the pictures. Going to have this not really true, you know, date or a little double date with one of her friends who's supposed to be coming to town. So we're in all, like, really nice clothes, and it's really hot. And she's like, why are we watering plants in the back of the, whatever, you know? She's like, okay, fine, whatever. And I drag her out in the middle of the yard, and Miss Claire kind of went all guerrilla style, you know, crawling through the trenches, getting behind the bushes, sneaking the pictures, and Lauren never had a clue. And so, anyway, it just reminded me of that just because, you know, you're – point of your 40th anniversary, and that was the beginning of our, you know, marriage. And that story, I don't know, kind of puts a yeah, click 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 click. She's like, what is that? So but anyway, sorry, just a side note. I just I will forever love Miss Claire for crawling gorilla style through the trenches of the backyard of somebody's house so she could get some pictures of me, you know, one of the most special, wonderful days of my life, and that you would share that about your own anniversary today. That means a lot to me, too. So it's very encouraging to me. So thank you. So, all right. Well, I haven't heard from anybody in Zoom. If you have any prayer requests, we have anybody who joined late, John and I were up here the other night for a while trying to get some things improved, and noticed a big speaker now up in the front of the room, and hopefully Zoom people will come out of that, their voices will come out of that, which I have not heard anyone actually say anything yet, though, so I'm not 100% sure that that's working, but it was the other night, so let's hope. But if anyone has any other prayer requests, though, we're happy to add them to the list before we pray, so. All right, if not, I'll go ahead and open us up, and just after anyone's had a chance to pray, as the Lord leads, I'll ask John if he would go ahead and close us. So, Lord, we thank you so much again for the wonder and the beauty of your works and deeds, wondrous works and deeds, as Psalm 78 says. We thank you, Lord, that even when the dark sayings of old defined our lives, Lord. Or as Romans says, Lord, at just the right time while we were yet sinners, while we were sticking spears in your side, as we were ramming crowns onto your head, as we were mocking you, Lord, that's when you died for us, Lord. puts us into this incredible relationship with you and into this incredible family that we come together. It's to a non-believer, sometimes even to just my physical flesh, it just seems so weird that we come together, we sing songs, and we do so much more than hang out, though, Lord. We have the opportunity to be encouraged by the work and the testimony of the things that you're doing in our lives, that, as Miss Claire said, you are our husband. You have led us as just the most truly incredible way. It's impossible to even put into words the way that you've led us through through the sin and the disgustingness of this world, that you have called us from our sin, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for your word that documents all of this, that tells us about it. It's not just history. It is a beautiful story that you are the centerpiece of, that you have made us active parts of, Lord. Lord, sometimes we may be tempted to sit back and relax and enjoy that, and that is sweet and wonderful. But Lord, there are many opportunities around us to share in that glory and to share in that love, to not only encourage brothers and sisters and to serve them, but to witness to a lost and dying world that is has totally missed and totally corrupted and totally just forsaken anything beautiful about the way that you work, about the way that you've created everything. We thank you, Lord, for all of the answered prayers. Thank you for a good first week for Lauren and for other educators out there, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as what will probably be a very different, very probably even in some ways unforgettable school year is ahead, Lord, we pray for safety. We pray for wisdom and direction. Pray for people to still be able to be salt and light in those situations, even more so, Lord, as people run away in fear or sadness over what's going on in our world, Lord, we pray that we would be beacons of light and hope. We would have the opportunity to steer them towards you, the only reason that there is life. Also lift up Mr. Tom's mom. We thank you, Lord, that in her last days, Lord, that you have brought her to you, Lord. You have put her into and relying on a Christian man and a Christian woman to serve her and to love her, to share eternity with you, with her on a daily basis, Lord. We thank you for their witness, and we thank you, Lord, that you have brought her to you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in their family, that her son came over and that they heard some of the things that you're doing in her his family's life, that you have that you are calling them unto you, Lord. You are also making Mr. Tom and Miss Sharon wonderful, beautiful witnesses there as well, Lord. Pray, Lord, that your spirit even now would minister to them and call them unto you. Pray, Lord, for the Mulkeys and all that Michael has gone through and the whole family in his illness, Lord. Thank you for talking to him. It sounds like, Lord, you're keeping him encouraged and strengthening him, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to do that. We pray that as a church body, we would also take that responsibility and take that wonderful opportunity, Lord, to love and serve them in these difficult times. Also lift up Miss Claudia and this missionary that she shared about, as well as her father. Lost loved ones are always so dear to us, Lord. Some people that we have connections with, no more or less important than witnessing to anyone else, and yet someone that we have so much connection with and people that we see on a daily basis, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give Miss Claudia encouragement and strength and endurance to be a strong and mighty witness for you. I pray that everything that her dad sees Everything that he hears, touches, tastes, whatever, would testify to your glory as your word says, Lord, and that your spirit would use that and give him a message of eternity. Show him the true calling of and the wonders of the love of Christ. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to meet with you, to study your word. Thank you, Lord, as I struggled for so many years to find a really strong, really solid, really biblical, Christ-centered church, Lord. I'm so thankful for this body, this opportunity to meet, for an opportunity to be not just somebody who warms a seat, but has the opportunity to love and serve others, Lord. I thank you for every single person that is a part of this church, for the encouragement that so many of them have been and continue to be, even though it's not known in so many cases, Lord. You have called all of these people to be in this place, Lord, and to hear your word and to worship you together this morning, and we truly thank you for that. Amen. Take about a 5-minute break and